out. If you set someone on fire, it's like so easy to move them because they're like super dehydrated. It's like having trail mix. It's like a lot easier to carry around a bag of figs if there's less moisture involved.
This podcast cannot nor should not be described as safe for work or minivan friendly. Listener discretion advised.
All right, welcome, fellow bastards, to Bastard Backstage. I am your head bastard, actually, and this is where we get to know a little bit more about our favorite bastard. Today's bastard is Miss something like that.
Very married,
very happily married, Mrs. Kate Laverne. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm exhausted. I had a late show last night, so I rolled in around 2 a.m. So tired, but good.
What do you do, by the way? Like this, we got you on the show as an author, but...
Yeah, so I do that as well. I wrote and illustrated a children's book, Mommy Needs Coffee. It's available on Amazon. My next book, which is called Hot Mess Express, is coming out in September. Both of them are kids' books. They're kid-friendly, but they're more along the lines of go the fuck to sleep without the cursing. So it's you can read it to your children, but it's very much, obviously, mommy's a little frazzled and does need her coffee. But my actual job, I can't say the company, but I work in healthcare. And then I also do stand-up. So I produce a stand-up comedy show. Last night was the first time I was running it all by myself, which was kind of exciting and terrifying. At Duff McDuff's in Waterford Works, New Jersey, so South Jersey. And then I go where people pay me to go. So I do Philadelphia, New York, DC. If work has me travel for my real job, I do shows there.
What we're doing here is pretty easy. We have about 25 or so questions to have our fans and your fans get to know you a little bit more. Okay. Are you ready for Bastards Backstage?
I'm ready.
All right. First question is, as always, I love icebreakers. Icebreakers are a lot of fun. So is this question. How many square feet of pizza do you think you eat in a year?
Well, I eat a lot of Sicilian, so it's literally square. So you'd say that's probably like 18 by 18. I'm doing math right now. It's not my strong suit. So that'd be 36 inches. And 36 square inches is probably like 2.5 feet. Like 2.5. I would say probably, I want to say safely 24 square feet of pizza. I'm in Jersey, so.
Yeah.
We're going to eat a lot of pizza.
Do you have a favorite topping or place to go?
Favorite topping more than place to go, because again, we're in Jersey.
It's Jersey. I mean, You can't really go bad at a lot of times. You can. No, you definitely can go bad. There is such a there's a such thing.
Bad pizza.
There's a such thing as bad pizza and bad sex. It's not like one of those things where he's like, hey, I'm just happy to be involved. No, there's definitely a bad thing of bad pizza and bad sex. So even exactly. In Jersey.
Yep, but in Jersey, even I will say our worst pizza I ever had, and we're talking like cafeteria where it was like ketchup on a tortilla. Still better than the best pizza I ever had in Maine. Although, to be fair, when I went to Maine, we were in the middle of the woods at the end of a mountain. So it may have been pizza, or it could have just been like woodchuck juice poured on a plate and it just gelatinous turned into pizza. But favorite pizza topping, mushrooms and pineapple together.
You don't hear a lot of pineapple anymore. I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. It's not my flavor, but... A lot of people give a lot of hate towards it, and I have no idea why.
I don't know why either.
I think these people just don't know how to live.
I agree. And I like doing, so my real favorite go-to is half with, so the whole thing mushrooms, half I have anchovies, and then I would do the pineapple on the other half, and then I'll pick the pineapple off, and that becomes like a nice warm bowl of pineapple. It's like a treat. So you eat the pizza, and then you get a treat.
My favorite time to eat pizza was back in the 90s because I am a totally 90s kid, born in 86, which means my years between 4 and 14, my formative years was in the 90s, back when like N64 and those big ass 2 liters of Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. I was a total feral child where my my family is like, hey, just don't get fucking killed and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from like windowless vans and go buy me a pack of cigarettes. It's just, that's, that was my 90s. But one of the cool things about the 90s is that 90s had a lot of weird ass fucking shit. One of the things of weird ass fucking shit that we had was music. It was a transformative decade. Everything from Metallica to Spice Girls to the beginning of boy bands and stuff like that. So the question I have for you now is, what is your favorite 90s song?
God, this is, so I'm also a child of the 90s. You and my husband are born the same year. I'm born in 1990 itself. So literal formative. I both formed through part of the 90s and then grew up in it. I think we're going to go, God, favorite 90s song. I have to nail it down to one.
Well, if you have a couple, that's fine too. But
I'm really into Metallica and Nirvana because that's what I grew up on. So trying to pick just one. I guess Smells Like Teen Spirit. I'm gonna be very basic and do that one, I think. I also really like Everything Changes But You, but from Take That though.
See, that's a song I've never heard. So.
What was that?
See, that's a song I've never heard, or at least I don't recognize the name.
That's okay. They're more like British. My family's super Irish, so we have a lot of like UK music that I grew up with.
I was rocking out to some Dropkick Murphys yesterday at work.
Oh, I love them.
I was told to turn it off. Apparently the language was a little rough for them. So, working a factory, by the way, so that's saying something.
The factory.
Yeah. Well, granted, like our line is about 20 feet from the office door.
Okay.
So like if you're somewhere in the back of the shop, you're fine. You can listen to whatever you want as long as your boss isn't a complete dill hole about it. But we're right next to corporate office, so we have to be a little bit more selective. That's what that is. What are you rocking out to now though?
Now, so I listened to a little bit of everything. When I was driving the kids back earlier today, we were group DJing, so we had Pepas on by Farruko, which is like sort of like, I guess more like Spanish reggaeton. But I listened to a little bit of everything except country. I feel like there's enough. I have enough of my own problems. I don't need to hear about you cry about your truck and your dog running off with your wife. I just do not have the time for that. So. A little bit of everything besides country.
The really sad thing is that I'm a fan of country music. I'm a fan of pretty much everything out there. Mm-hmm. And people describe this as like, oh, it's all your dogs running off and stuff like that. And I want to defend it, but I can't because it's so true.
That's my husband listens to it. Growing up, we didn't. Like, we were both like very anti-country, and then he slowly, it's weird, he finally got his citizenship in December, and as he's become more and more American, he's been here longer than I've been alive, so technically he's more American than I am, he's gone deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole, and he's putting on country music and he's trying to get me to like it. And I was like, cool, well, literally every song we have, a dog, a truck, or somebody's brokenhearted, and that's just depressing. But I appreciate the angst. It's like listening to a teenager cry into a journal, but the journal definitely has really sloppy handwriting.
There are songs out there. For everybody out there who worldwide doesn't listen to country music, there are songs out there that don't have those three things in it. There's a Big and Rich song that makes me laugh every time I hear it. The entire Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Okay, so I do like that one.
Okay. Like, there's a whole bunch of other ones. Picking Wildflowers is one too by Keith Anderson. Fishing in the Dark, which both of those songs are about sex.
My husband really likes the song Fishing in the Dark, so I know that.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah, that's Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. There's songs out there that are they're just fun. That's completely cool. I'm the type of person that I had a song from Newsies, which is a musical.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Right next to Dear Mama by Tupac on my Spotify list. And my wife looked at me because we had our wedding anniversary. We've been married 6 years. Had our wedding anniversary yesterday. We was driving up to Des Moines. And it went from It went from Newsies to Tupac. She's looking at me. She's like, what is wrong with you?
That's okay. Well, congratulations. Happy 6 years. That's so exciting. And it's funny. It was yesterday. My husband and I started our dating anniversary was this past Friday. We're at 17 years. But for the music side, I had put a playlist together for the pre-show yesterday, and I was trying to put stuff in there that I knew that other people would like, not just me. But so we have like Mr. Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other? We had Mr. Blue Sky, and then out of nowhere, because I had it on shuffle, we had Burn the House Down from AJR, and then there was Rihanna, and then Pep Bus came on, which is where I was listening to it again this morning, because I end up going down a rabbit hole with that. And there's a whole bunch. I have a lot of like weird Lithuanian music in there too.
See, my problem is I've been watching a lot of Facebook videos lately, and they have this weird like covers of songs on there, and they're mm-hmm. great. And I have to look them up and add them in my list of like that. We just did not myself, but Jeremy Bryant, who has another podcast, did a Will Smith bracket, and there's a whole bunch of Will Smith songs that I've never heard of. And
wow.
Will Smith is known for not swearing.
Yes,
so when
he wanted his grandma to be able to listen to whatever he made.
When you hear a song that in the chorus it says bitch in it, the song's like You Saw My Blinker, Bitch.
Okay.
Which is a phenomenal song. If you get a chance to check it out, it's freaking funny. It's a bit racist. It is. When you think about it, it's a bit racist, but there's that. Okay, next question, because we're going on a tirade here.
Yep, sorry.
That was me. How do you describe the color yellow to a blind man?
I actually had to write a paper on the color yellow in college out of spite.
Nice.
So I work in healthcare. I do comedy. My actual college degree is in art history with concentrations in Holocaust and genocide studies and studio art, because I'm a very normal person who apparently just wanted to leave college and be old. That is what my entire goal was. And I was in a Holocaust class, and I had written a paper about the fact that the color yellow can be seen as derogatory, like was a line in there. And the professor was like, well, no, yellow is a happy color. And so then I was trying to explain the history of yellow. And so her response to me was, well, if you can write me a full paper on the color yellow, then I'll change your grade and I'll give you an A. So I did.
Wait a minute. So they downgraded your grade on a personal opinion?
So I think in her mind, the thought, and getting the 1,000-foot view, it's been some time. I think her thought was, I was making a presumption in this paper I should not have made, that people would just inherently know there's negative connotations associated with the color yellow. And so I can see where she was coming from that respect, but she considered it an incomplete assignment because I didn't fully structure what I was saying with enough information. So this was to bolster that. And she said, if I can explain that thoroughly. But anyway, so I literally wrote a paper on the color yellow. And so I guess if I were to describe it to a person, to me, it's the feeling of the sun on you when it's really, really bright. So that like really warm feeling mixed with anxiety.
That's a really good response. My personal favorite is the feeling that you get when you pee your pants, but like nobody knows about it yet.
Like
except for you.
That kind of fits too. I didn't put that in the paper, but I probably should have.
Well, I mean, you're a comedian though. Like that may have actually taken like probably added to your grade, because your teacher would have been like, what the fuck?
Wouldn't have been the most surprising thing I did in that class.
We're gonna stick with the color line though a little bit. You are a new crayon and a new box. What color are you and why?
I'm a sparkly purple. And the reason for that is I love sparkles. And also purple, whenever you go to color with a purple crayon, the color purple you get is never the color purple you think is gonna come off of that purple crayon. So I may look and present one way, but then I'll forget what I'm doing and I'm completely different on the other side.
Which, ironically enough, brings up the next question. What is the funniest thing to ever happen to you that you can legally talk about?
Oh, legally.
Okay. Nice little caveat.
that I can legally talk about. Oh God.
I mean, I don't want to get you in trouble. Come on.
I mean, I appreciate that. Funny, haha, or funny, ironic.
That is completely up to you.
Okay. The legal bit of this is where it catches me. I think to me, I found it funny in retrospect. This is not as intense as I'm probably making it out to be. So I usually don't drive wearing shoes because trying to get myself and my kids out of my house while wearing high heels tends to literally trip me up. So I just, you know, carry my shoes, throw them in the car, and I put them on when I get there. Plus, if it's, we're like in right now where it's hot out, I have one of my kids hold my shoes in the back. So that way I don't ever have to worry about forgetting them in the car. So that's my, like, you know, parent hack for anybody who has small kids, especially if you're a new mom. Mm-hmm. Put your shoes in the back seat, because then you can't get out of the car without your shoes. And if the kid's asleep and you've like tuned out and forgotten they're there, you're not gonna have to worry about forgetting them in the car. But so I was running around, dropped the kids off, went to work. I had everything with me. I thought, go to get out of the car. I don't have my shoes. So turn around, drive an hour back home, get my shoes, get back to work, go inside with the shoes, realize I've left my laptop at home. Go home, take the shoes off in the car, because I'm driving, have them in my hand out of habit, get the laptop, go to go back to work, and thank God a block away from my house realized I had left my shoes at home again. So eventually I got to work and I got done what I needed to get done. But I now keep a pair of shoes in my bottom desk drawer, because if I have to hoof it from the car to the office without my shoes on, that's fine. That's somebody else's problem. Just don't look at my feet. They're not nearly as funny as it would be, but because we're throwing the legal part in there, I can't really. We did a lot of funny things having to do with immigration, but I'm not trying to get my husband deported.
Yeah, and I, granted, if, again, that brings up the entire caveat that I said before we started recording about the entire, if there's anything you want left out, we can go ahead and leave it out. But polling family and friends, speaking of your husband, by the way, polling family and friends, what would they say that you are most known for?
Being late, because I tend to forget my shoes and laptop at home several times in a row.
I mean, yeah.
It kind of tracks.
It does. This next question is actually answered with a question. And that is, what question will you never answer in public? With this, we're looking for the actual question itself, but not the answer, because again, this is public.
Okay, question I would never answer in public. How much I weigh?
See, I've never had a problem with that.
Well, I have a history of eating disorders, so having to confront the number out loud for me gives me a lot of anxiety, and it makes me feel really judged. So that's something I wouldn't feel comfortable giving a current number out loud.
Now, is that, and again, I can take this out if you want, but is that going up or going down? Like, you feel like you weigh too much or weigh too little?
Oh, now I definitely weigh too much. So when I'm very Italian, Irish, Lithuanian, I got really good birthing hips. One of my kids shot out of them. The other one had to be extracted, but it's fine. I'm not bitter. It's not like he was only 5 pounds and the one that bowling balled his way out was 8, but it's cool. But I always have been very broad. And so when I was younger, I was bullied mercilessly for being a bigger girl. Also, because this was the 90s and 2000s and heroin chic was in, and I'd never gotten to be able to do drugs. So, you know, the heroin part definitely wasn't happening. But when I went to college, I was able to get more control over that. And then it's just been ever since. You never really fully recovered, I don't think. And then when you get pregnant and have kids, fun fact, you gain weight because you're growing a whole ass human. So my excuse is one of my humans now weighs like 65 pounds. So I feel like it's fair that I weigh 65 pounds more because I put 65 pounds out, technically speaking. Same way I can say I've grown twice as many penises as any man. So it makes me extra. You're welcome, America. I gave you 2 more citizens. Well, technically 3. His husband. But that's where I'm like, I wouldn't feel comfortable giving out the actual current number, even if it was really low, because then I'd be like, oh, probably an indication that we have a problem again.
Yeah, I'm bouncing around like 220 ish, and it's not muscle. But I always tell people, it's like, dude, I'm not running any marathons. I'm not like my job doesn't require me to be super fit or anything else. I'm already married, so I don't have anybody to impress. So if I'm going to die, I'm going to die happy. I'm going to die fucking fat and happy. I do not care. The only people that are going to care about how much I weigh are the 6 pallbearers at my funeral, which I'm not planning on being. I'm being carried into a grave anyway. So like that's. And don't get me wrong, I have some very fit friends. So even those 6 pallbearers, it's like I'm not the fit one. I'm the funny one. I have found my route in life, and it's exactly where I tend to go. So fuck you, fitness models. The only one I've ever liked is Richard Simmons, because that guy is a fucking godsend.
I love him. It's funny you mentioned the pallbearers thing, though. So like my dad's dead, but it's okay. And when. When he died, so we used to joke, but also it was serious growing up, that he weighed 300 and, because our scale stopped at 300. So we knew he was more than 300, so it was just and something. And then when he died, he had lost a little weight before he died, but when he died, we were like, oh, thank God he's being cremated. It's going to be so much easier to carry him around. So he's, you know, very portable nowadays. Turns out if you set someone on fire, it's like so easy to move them because they're like super dehydrated. It's like having trail mix. Like a lot easier to carry around a bag of figs if there's less moisture involved. And we were at his funeral, and he was in a box, not like a pine box. Like it was literally like the urn wasn't ready yet, so they stuck him in a box. And it was really cute because he went from like making coffee tables to being one. And you're able to carry him around. He held the programs. Very useful that day. Makes an excellent doorstop. So he didn't even need pallbearers. Just had my aunt. Well, she had him under one arm, and then like a box of stuff to go to the memorial afterwards under the other. I'm like, this is efficiency.
There you go. That question has a tendency to bring the situation down a bit. You're a comedian, so I didn't really have that problem. But this should bring it up even a little bit more than that. And a penguin waddles through your doorway wearing a sombrero. What does he say to you, and why is he there?
He doesn't say anything because penguins can't talk, but he's there because I have an 8-year-old and he can make anything happen. My 2-year-old's tiny and violent. My 8-year-old is very creative. Right now, I'm pretty sure I gave them lollipops to keep them quiet, but the 2-year-old learned how to open the freezer. So if there's a penguin in there right now, I'm not surprised. There are very few things that could happen in this house that surprised me. I was woken up at 3 a.m. because I was smacked in the face with a grape popsicle yesterday.
I was about to ask if it was frozen or not, depending on the popsicle. So.
It was damp. It had seen better days. You know how there's like frozen popsicle and it's like, this is a frozen delight, and then there's frozen popsicle and this is a freaking mess, and why do I have white sheets? I should have thought better. It's the second one.
Yeah, white sheets are not never good to have. Like if you're married, white sheets and black sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like the perfect color of sheets to have when you're married are like maroon. Mm-hmm. They don't look that good, but they hide so much.
That's so much.
Either the white stains or the red stains. That's
exactly whatever wine you're drinking.
I wasn't talking about that, but all right. All right. The next question is that the entire two truths and a lie. I'm not a huge fan of that. I personally think it's been done way too often, and people pretty much already have their answers in their head. So I'm going to flip it on its ears a little bit. How about two lies and a truth? Two things about you that are not true, but are feasible. And one thing that is true, but people may not necessarily expect.
Okay. So I was actually born in Lithuania, and we moved here when I was 2. I have a twin sister, and I have jumped out of a 10-story building.
There's a height joke there, but I'm not exactly sure how tall you are, so I can't go there.
I'm 5'4", which is what I say when I'm lying. I'm actually 5'3".
Dude, my wife's 5'2", so.
Okay.
And I'm 6. I'm 6'1", depending on what convenience store I'm walking out of, so.
My husband's entire family are significantly shorter than me, so your wife would fit right. My mother-in-law is not even over 5 feet. She's so cute. I want to put her in my pocket.
As a comedian, this should be fun because you have a background in a whole bunch of different mediums and stuff like that, because you kind of have to, because you're going to have stuff to draw from. Picking any character from any type of medium, being movies, comic books, TV, so on and so forth, who would you want to be and why?
Any medium.
Any medium.
Toss up between either Captain Marvel or the naked person from Déjeuner sur la Terre, which is a painting, because the naked one, she's naked eating snacks and it looks like the weather is lovely with some friends. I feel like that sounds fantastic.
Captain Marvel is
Captain Marvel and she can blow shit up with her hands. And I feel like that's a really easy way to start fires. And I really like starting fire.
Being a mom, you have to be selfless at times. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad myself. I have 3 kids to worry about most of the time. And to be perfectly honest, as a father, I'm going to worry about my kids all the time. It just happens. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to allow you to be greedy as much as you choose to be. And that's how would you spend $1 million on yourself?
Do I have to spend it or can I can't save it. I have to spend it.
I would go spend just to make this little question a little bit more difficult.
Okay. Yeah. Cause my default is, well, you save half and invest half in real estate, but if I was going to spend it for fun, pay off my house. Still do the responsible thing and set up a trust for education for my kids. I'm trying to be selfish here a little bit. And then I think I would use a chunk to travel. I really like traveling and I don't get to do it very, very much right now because I have small kids. So I'd love to go back to Ireland. I liked Arizona. Sedona was really cool. And I'd like to be able to do it by myself where I can have like 3 days where no one bothers me. I would willingly pay someone $1 million to for 3 days clean my house, watch my kids. I would like to nap. Don't wake me up. I would like a medically induced coma for 72 hours. Then I feel like I'll feel refreshed and ready to continue.
I mean, speaking of traveling, though, if you're ever in Iowa, freaking hit me up because there's a couple of the people from the show are like within probably at a 25 mile radius of me.
Oh, so cool. I will definitely do that.
You'll get to meet them a little bit.
We do we go to a different state every year for our anniversary. So eventually we have to end up in Iowa.
Well, there's a lot of cool shit here. If you're into flowers at all, that's not sexist. I mean, just one of the things that we have here. We have a tulip festival.
Oh, cool.
Which this town is around 12,000 people during that weekend. It goes from 12,000 to 120.
Dang.
Yes.
More than four.
Sprint car nationals are coming up, so if you or your husband are race fans, like, this is sprint cars, it's not like normal like NASCAR stuff. This is the one with the wings on them and stuff like that that go like mud track racing and are highly freaking dangerous.
Yeah.
So but we have that around here. There's different theme parks. Iowa's known as a flyover state. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of cool shit here. There is a road trip of like 20 some waterfalls.
That I would like. I love that kind of stuff.
So if you're into stuff like that, it's like a 3-day road trip, depending on how long you want to stay at each location. But and there's no bears, so cocaine bear waterfall type things is not necessarily a thing that you're gonna have to worry about. So
that's good to know, because we have bears here, like up in our.
I mean, we have cougars, but depending on how old the cougar is the one you got to worry about. So,
I mean, I definitely saw some cougars last night at the show. I feel like we're equipped. There's the Delaware Water Gap. Jersey is so small; you drive 2 hours in any direction, you are out of the state or in the ocean. And the Water Gap's about 2 hours north of us. It's right on the border. And we've been up there a number of times. My husband was driving, I think it was last year, and there was a bear just crossing the road in the middle of the night.
We drove, like I said, last night, we had our entire anniversary dinner. We drove 45 minutes one direction just to eat.
That had been good. Well, I mean, we do that here. We could go to Newark for Portuguese food and to avoid getting shot. What did you have? Was it good? Was it worth it?
Yeah, no, we had Texas Roadhouse, which I had the pork and stuff like that. A majority of the food was pretty good. I mean, you get a lot of those like $60 meal type things, and it gets like I can't complain because it's super pricey. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say the pork that I had was absolutely, absolutely fantastic. I still have part of it in like a doggy bag, I guess, upstairs. I'm planning on eating lunch and a little bit, but no, it was a lot of fun. I really wish we could have gone to the movies or something, but trying to get people to take care of like three little kids at one time is a huge pain in the ass. So there's that. Yeah. Speaking of our loved ones, by the way,
yeah,
we come like we said before, we come from pretty much the same generation ish. I'm about 4 years older than you, but who was your celebrity crush as a teenager?
God, as a teenager, I'm trying to think. So my husband and I started dating when I was 15. So he was my non-celebrity crush. I didn't think of his. I guess probably Heath Ledger pre-death.
Hopefully not post. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dead people are great. I did a whole degree field about dead people and crayons, but the live ones. That's really where it's at. So I think probably Heath Ledger.
So you're not really in the mood to crack open a cold one?
I'm always open. Ready?
Yeah. Phrase that correctly.
I should probably not go into a career field where I have to use words, right? Like words can be hard. Always ready to crack open a cold one. It's just what comes out that determines how much fun that's going to be.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like starting fires though. So if it's, you know,
just warm it up, thaw it out, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
If you could join any fictional family, and that means join one and not replace somebody in the family, what family would you choose?
I'm leaving my own family behind, correct? Like we're pretending they don't exist.
Well, this would be a fictional family. Like your family was never a thing. You were born into this particular family.
Born into it. Okay. So, all right. We talked a little bit earlier about Bluey. I'm actually going to go Bluey because I feel like if I was born into that family, I'm going to grow up to be the most well-adjusted, successful, happy person possible. And, you know, my parents are great, but that is not me right now.
I haven't seen it yet, but apparently in season 3, they tackle men's mental health in one of the episodes. And of course, I don't have like a VPN or stuff like that, so I can't watch stuff that hasn't been released here yet, unfortunately. But I'm hopefully going to get my kid back into it, so I don't feel so bad watching it by myself. I can watch it with my kid. I'll still watch it by myself, but like I'll still watch it. I don't care. I watch it by myself. People like, oh, you shouldn't watch cartoons. You're an adult. I watch Simpsons all the time.
Yeah. You know, cartoons were originally made for adults, not children anyway. So honestly, you're just being historically accurate and appreciating the history of the cartoon.
Well, I mean, if I want to be historically accurate, I wouldn't buy diamond rings. I would break a whole bunch of laws.
Well, diamonds only became popular anyway at the beginning of the 20th century, and that was just it was from the De Beers company that was doing that as like an advertising push that tried to make it the whole diamonds are a girl's best friend and all that garbage.
Diamonds aren't forever.
Diamonds are forever.
Before that, you just had like the entire wedding ring would be like opals and stuff like that. Would just be whatever thing that you had around you and stuff like that. And granted, my wife is super cool. Like between her ring and mine, I think we spent like $400.
Yeah, we did. My wedding ring is actually my great grandmother's. Mm-hmm. And with my husband, we got one similar to match it, and it was probably like $150. And then same with like my engagement ring was actually a promise ring that we turned into an engagement ring. And it was really sweet. So we, back then especially, we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, I got married when I was 20 because I made good life choices. So I had this from when I was a teenager.
It worked out.
Yeah. I have to say, if it was giant diamond ring or tiny diamond chip with the, you know, the life we have now, definitely would pick my little diamond chip. But he did spend all the money he had on him at the time, which I think was about $200 or $300. And it has a little diamond chip And he wasn't sure if I wanted, I think, gold or silver. So he had made sure he found a fitting that had both so it would match whatever I was wearing. And when we got engaged, he took it and just had it engraved with a little message on the inside. And that's what turned it from being a promise ring to an engagement ring.
Nice.
So I think it means a lot.
Yeah. And that's one of those things. I really love stories like that. I don't really think you should have to go pricey. One of the reasons that I podcast is because I believe in therapy. I do. I believe mental health is health. It's probably one of the most, it's the biggest factor in health is your actual mental health, because your mental health kind of controls the rest of your body type thing.
Definitely.
But one of the reasons I podcast is because podcasting is cheaper than therapy.
That's very true.
So it's like I would much rather just go ahead and do stuff like this and have a whole bunch of fun with it. And eventually I might make some money off it. If not, I get to meet some pretty cool, intriguing people and try to hook them up and stuff like that. This is the first time though I've met two completely different people that actually already knew each other beforehand, which is really cool. So the world is getting smaller.
It is. I say, I think too, it helps being in the Philly area. Everybody either knows or we either know each other or related to each other. The show I had last night, one of my guests, Pete Eckenroth, I found out that he grew up two blocks from where I currently live, and his good friends are my cousin's best friends. I've never met him before yesterday, but he is familiar with my extended family.
Yeah, what is it? Six degree from Kevin Bacon is a legit thing. It's just,
yeah,
it's crazy.
it is, and it's funny too because we're big Irish Italian Catholic family. So our 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is like 2.5, because there's so many of us. I can easily say, oh yeah, my cousin did this, or you know, this person knows that person, and then it's all Kevin Bacon from there.
We drove back in the past a little bit, especially talking about your guys' ring. We're going to dive in the future a little bit. We're talking about goals. I personally think everybody should have goals, either small goals, big goals, whatever, at least trying to forward themselves in some kind of way. If you don't have goals, you stagnate, and nobody really wants that. So how about your 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year time periods? What do you want to accomplish?
So I have one overarching goal for all of them, and that is to make sure that at each of those milestones, I am making people laugh, my kids are happy, my relationship's strong, and my bills are paid. Those are my big, for all of those are my big goals. But 1 year from now, we've been slowly redoing our house that we bought, which means every time I go away for work, I come back and somehow have both more and less walls than when I left. With zero warning. I went to Arizona to visit a friend back when my son was born 2 years ago, and came back and my husband had ripped out a section of our basement and moved it around. So I had, again, both more and less walls and an additional door. And the weird thing is, if someone had come up to me in the street and be like, list all the doors in your house, I would have answered wrong, which I feel like is not fair. But 1 year from now, I would like us to have finished moving all of the walls around and for them to be in their same general location. Like if they're going to move a couple feet in either direction, that's fine. But if we can have them in the right rough vicinity of where the walls are going to be, that would be great. And then by 5 and 10 years from now, I love what I do. I love my professional career, but I would love to have the stand-up and the children's books and all that I do. I'd like that to be a bigger part of my everyday, both income-wise and what I actually get to do, because I love doing that. I love getting to entertain people, make people laugh. And like you said, it's podcasting is like therapy, and that's where I started with stand-up. It's cheaper than therapy, and now I have better health insurance, and it's still cheaper than therapy. I have a therapist. I like her. I see her every other week. And I think that the only reason I even got to that point is through doing stand-up and realizing that I needed that kind of experience where I could have a structure to talk to someone or multiple people. Plus, the external validation is definitely important.
Yes, I agree with that. Sometimes you just need to hear it from somebody else that you're a decent person and you're not going completely nuts.
Yes. Or if I am completely nuts, it's still mildly socially acceptable.
Well, I mean, and the way socially acceptable is going now, you're that goalpost is getting farther and farther away. So you're perfectly okay with that. Yeah. As a podcaster, though, and as a comedian, we can kind of agree with that. One of my favorite things in life are words. I really love words. There are like 300,000 words in the English language. There's good words, bad words. Some people consider swear words. I don't really believe in swear words, but that's a completely different story. But we're going to talk about three of them.
Okay.
First one we're going to talk about is your favorite word. Out of all those words, what is your favorite one?
Parapluie. It's French for umbrella. I speak a couple languages. I grew up speaking French with my mom a little bit, so that means umbrella, and it's just fun to say.
No, I agree with you. It is. It's like cattywampus and stuff like that. It's just, they're just fun words.
Yep.
What is your least favorite word?
I really don't like the word hunk or chunk. It makes my fingertips hurt.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I don't. It's a very visceral reaction, and I don't know why, but it literally makes the tips of my fingers hurt. It's like listening to like nails on a chalkboard.
So, like a lot of people's reaction to the word moist.
That doesn't really bother me so much.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people. They hear the word moist, and it's kind of like one of those an AMSR type moist type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where people be coming from, but it doesn't. I don't know. The other one's more gross to me.
See, I have found out the reason why moist is such a weird word for people is because there's so much hot air involved with saying the word moist. The way you have to say it, there's mm-hmm. so much breath coming out of you.
Yeah.
That if you're around some people who say moist and they have bad breath and the heat just kind of makes mm-hmm. that worse. It's a trigger in your mind where you're like, oh.
I could definitely see that. I'm a very visual thinker, so like as I'm talking, mm-hmm. I'm seeing pictures in my head, which I feel like is how most people are anyway. And so for me, when I hear the word moist, it reminds me of like the Duncan Hine red cake boxes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm the same way. That's why moist doesn't really bother me. But and the last part of this one is everybody seems to be favorite one. What's your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word. Favorite versus you. I use goddamn it a lot because it's probably like the most middle where it's like a swear, but not. I mean, it is.
Well, especially if you're Catholic. I mean,
yeah, it was very much taboo growing up. Well, I mean, everything was taboo because we're Catholic. I think my favorite one to like, I feel like has force. If you were to call someone a twat waffle, I think that's hilarious. That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And then fuckle-doodle-doo.
I think my favorite swear word that's not really a swear word, again, I don't really believe in swear words, but for a completely different reason, is probably douche canoe.
Oh, I do like douche canoe.
Douche.
I think that's a sound in Pennsylvania.
Get a really weird, weird-looking boat. What is that? It's a douche canoe.
I mean, it's soaking up that moisture.
Who or what inspires you in life?
My husband and my kids. I think this is me getting a little bit sentimental. They both inspire me to do better, but also a lot of my comedy and all comes from just being alive in general. And again, we've been together for 17 years and I'm with my kids every day because I grew them. And they provide a lot of source material and inspiration on the funny side of things, but they also are my reason to do better, be better, and try to think bigger and dream more.
I always tell people that my kids are the best pets I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're all right. My one dog, ugh. Toss up between him and the kids. He was the best.
Damn it, Bluey.
I know.
All right, on the second half of that, what in life shuts you down? Or as a Mid-Easterner, you might refer to this one, as the great Peter Griffin once said, what grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears? People being rude. So to me, there's just general, like, it's a lot of it depends on the relationship you have with the person. So, like, obviously my husband and I are insulting each other all day long. That's fine. But when you're asking someone to help you, if you can't have the manners to say please or thank you, and you're just going to say, hand me that. Fuck no, I'm not going to do the opposite. I'm going to pick it up and hand it to somebody else. Say, here, you can take this and go. Clearly this person doesn't need it that bad because they could not say please. And there's a time, like if there's an emergency and you're like, hand me the scalpel, I'm going to operate. Obviously I'm going to hand it to you. I'm going to be a little bit confused because we're in a Walmart parking lot, but you do you. However, if you're pleasing, I'll hand it to you with a smile.
You have kind of a dream job now with as far as the comedian stuff goes and being an author and stuff like that. But if you weren't doing that, if you weren't doing what you are currently doing, what would your dream job be knowing that you wouldn't fail at it?
My dream job, if I wasn't doing what I was doing now, would be working in the career field that I got my major in, so art history. I would love to be the department head for the exhibitions and collections department at the Philadelphia Art Museum, I think. So I'm sure there's a different title for it, but that when I graduated college, I actually worked in an art museum. I was lucky enough to intern at an art museum and then get hired right in. And that was really what set me on the path to where I am now, both in my professional and semi-professional careers. I got to experience a lot of great leadership styles. We did a lot. We were nonprofits. We did a lot to help the community. And the art world itself is just such a big expanse of creativity, because it's literally the arts, that I feel like there's never an opportunity to be bored, and there's many opportunities to bring other people up, and I like that.
On the flip side of that one, what would be one job that you would never want to have?
Pest control. I have really bad OCD. I don't do bugs. My Terminix guy and I have a wonderful relationship. They are lovely people. They are out here way more than they need to be, because I'll see a spider, send them a picture of it, and then they're like, yeah, we realize you're fine, but okay.
I'm pretty sure that as like a therapist type thing that you might need to talk about, but that's me.
Yeah, no, definitely. And they know that. And they're very, we've had a contract with them since we bought our house 7 years ago, and they're extremely understanding. We've actually outlasted a couple technicians, and they've all been phenomenal with me tending them pictures of bugs and being like, what is this? And they're like, it's a silverfish, you're fine. I don't do bugs.
Speaking of dead things, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I love dead things.
If heaven does exist, what do you want God to say to you, or what do you want to say to God when you arrive at pearly gates?
Probably not, we've been expecting you, because that sounds like you didn't think I was going to last that long out here. I think on the emotional side, I think you'd want to be like, good job, that's exactly what we wanted you to do, because I thrive off validation and knowing that I'm doing the right thing. So if he was like, yes, this is all a part of the plan. You were supposed to forget your shoes. It kept you from getting in a car accident, and that person cured cancer. I'd be like, thank you so much for making that happen for me. Glad to do my part. You're welcome for the cure for cancer. They say he felt I did what I was supposed to. Or even better would be like, psych, we're sending you back. We're just kidding. Good job.
I personally think that would suck. It really would. Being sent back, because there's a difference between knowing something and believing something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe in God, and I'm very, very open about that. But if you die and you go to heaven, you have that type of vision and stuff like that as a non-believer, and then you're sent back. There's a difference between believing in something mm-hmm. and having no proof of it whatsoever. And then going through that experience, and now you believe it because you have the experience to back it up. So mm-hmm. are you a believer, or do you believe because you see, or do you see it because you believe it?
So I see where you're coming from. I think if you get sent back, I mean, anything we see or do is our own perception of reality. That's why there's that mm-hmm. millions of realities at any given time, because each person's is unique. And so if I were to go to heaven, who's to say that that's even happening? There's the, I don't know if you've heard of Last Thursday theory.
No, but
It's that the entire Earth and everything in it was created last Thursday, and so everything before then is just a simulated memory. So that way, you never, we're only actually ever 7 days old or 6 days old. It's absolute bullshit because science, but it's an interesting concept, and I think it goes to the, you know, the thought of, if I know that that's there, great. I don't think for me that alters my reality all that much, because who's to say that that was real? Who's to say that this is real?
Well, going on the same concept though, couldn't science just be a collective memory?
Exactly. So it's I guess if you, depending on how, I don't know if I'm using the word meta correctly here, but meta, you want to get anything and nothing can be real or not real at any time. It's, we're all just Schrodinger's cat.
I tend to like the entire video game theory where this entire thing is just a sim. And whenever we get to a point that we can recreate it, the sim starts over again.
So, and it's just a damn shoes.
You ever play the game The Sims, like on the computer, and how they're just doing shit like randomly? Mm-hmm. Like they'll walk. I do this all the time. Like I'll walk into the kitchen and look into the fridge and completely forget what the fuck I came in to look into the fridge for.
Yeah, it's and like then I'll,
yeah, then I'll leave stuff where like it has no reason to be. Mm-hmm. Like what the hell was I thinking? It could just be somebody playing like the Sims game, stuff like that. But once we realize how to create this and do like the entire Ready Player One type stuff, mm-hmm. where we no longer live in our world, we live and transcend into a different world. That's mm-hmm. when the entire sim either recreates or you get like a 2.0, mm-hmm. and it's a whole new sim from what's going on. I don't think it's true, but I do like that theory more than pretty much all the other theories that's going on. So
yeah.
But assuming that death is the final place type thing, mm-hmm. what do you want written on your tombstone? Or if you don't believe in tombstone, because I'm not a huge fan of it, what do you want your last words to be? We're both, actually. I'm not going to stifle you.
So I guess my tombstone, I would want my name and then obviously my birth year and then just a dash with no end date, because I would like to my death to be so ambiguous you don't know if I'm still out there or not, so I can haunt everyone. Because, you know, did I go down in a fiery plane crash or am I actually living in the Alps with Yetis? Because basically we have the same amount of body hair, so I'll blend right in. We'll be fine. And then my last words would be, I buried the treasure over, and then nothing.
Yeah, to die.
Yep. So I figured my deathbed, whatever, that's going to be my revenge. All the time that I have spent taking laundry and turning it the right side out so I can wash it, all that time is time that I would have had at the end of my life to explain where I hid my will and all of my riches. But since people couldn't put their clothes the right way, guess you're gonna miss out.
I don't even do that. Like I have a
clothes the right way.
No. One, my 2 year old, not my 2 year old, my fucking 2 year old, my 4 year old. I have a 4 year old, not a 2 year old. What is life? I don't know. My 4 year old actually helps me with the laundry, stuff like that. Like he'll try to pull his own clothes. It's more of an exercise that he's just trying to learn stuff. I have a 13-year-old mm-hmm. that he'll put his clothes down the laundry chute in all different ways. I'll still wash his clothes, but I don't fold them. I don't turn them right side out. I don't sort them or anything else. So whatever colors and stuff that he has, it all goes into a singular bin. That bin gets washed, it gets dried, and it goes back in the same exact bin that he had it. If he wants to wear wrinkled ass clothes to school and stuff like that, that is his own damn thing.
Yep.
I have caught him many of times trying to leave the house with his shirt inside out and backwards.
Well, I mean, if you have the tag in front, you know that you know what size things are in case somebody asks and says, oh, I have a spare shirt. What size do you need? And you're like, yeah, I'm medium.
He's the type of person just take his shirt off and check. So
well, there's that too. My oldest is 8, so I'll still turn it inside out or turn the right side in for him, and my youngest is 2. So they get a pass for now. But my growing up, I'm the oldest of five kids. So the rule was once you could reach into the bottom of the washer, you were in charge of doing your own laundry. So he is pretty tall, so he's coming up on it soon. He knows how to switch laundry. He just can't get all the way to the bottom. So now he does his own. But I'll still turn the clothes right side in for him for now. He's got like another 6 months, then he's going to start doing himself.
Oh, he's of age, but I don't think he's tall enough to reach the bottom of the pearl yet. So, it's a very high washer, mm-hmm. and it's not like a front load washer. It's a top load.
Yeah.
So there's that. I believe that everybody should have a soapbox every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Mainly either get stuff off their chest to just, if you die tomorrow type thing, to have somebody have the ability to give your, what you want the world to know, what you want your lasting legacy to be, stuff like that. So I'm going to give you a soapbox. You can last as long as you want, as short as you want. If it's only five words, it's fine. If it's 500 words, it's fine too. And I'm going to mute my mic. But what if you had the ear of the world for any time period, what would you want to say to them?
It's a big responsibility. So having had my background with Holocaust and genocide studies, I would say that you need to listen to the victims when they're there, and even more so those that aren't there. You can't deny a genocide just because you don't want to. You can't deny the Holocaust happened just because you can't accept it. And the things that put those actions in motion come from childhood, from bullying, from discriminating. And if you don't take the time to check yourself and your biases, that becomes a much bigger issue later on. And that's when you get things like the extreme example of genocide. So I think that would be my big soapbox. Also, get long-term care insurance. Not enough people do that in America. And when you get older and you need someone to help take care of you, it's very expensive if you don't have long-term care insurance.
And the very last question, as always, is where can people find you?
Usually in my car, because I do a lot of driving. But I am on Facebook a lot, just under my actual name, Kate Laverne. On Instagram as Kate LaFlorenco. Twitter is Kay Laverne. All those social media things, I'm on there. And once a month at Duff McDuff's in Waterford Works, New Jersey. I'm up sometimes at the Broadway Comedy Club in New York City, and sort of around. I tend to pop up where people least expect it and where I most expect it, because I'm physically there. I'm going to put myself there, so I know what's coming.
You can also find her on the Mother's Day episode that we did recently. She got to do the first round or so before she had to split, because moms do mom things. So we don't begrudge her in any kind of way, because, you know, I'm a dad. I know how things just kind of happen turn up. So she will be on future episodes, though. I don't have it listed right now on what she has, but she will be on future episodes. And as far as I go, I am Freddie Fisher. You can find me at that on Facebook. While you're on Facebook, check out Bracketology. We have two polls going up every single day. Currently, it is mustaches in movies and the IMDb top 64. I'm on, we're on Facebook too at Bracket Bastards. Twitter, I'm at Fisher777. We're all at Bracket Pod. And on Instagram, as always, you can find me at Can't Lick Me. Not one word. I will leave you guys with the same line I leave every single show, and that is this: it is okay to be a bastard, just don't be a dick.